We're good to go. It's May 17th. Welcome to Abundant Grace Church again. We have a message today. How important is God's Word to you? Does that sound like a good subject? Yes, it does. Okay. Let's start with this. What does it mean when we say God's Word? The Bible. What else? Jesus. Very good. Could be the Holy Spirit. His message. All right. Andrew's hitting on the one. His truth. So number one, God's word means what God has said. All right? Because if I speak something, I'm saying something, that's my word has gone forth from my mouth. Right? So that's what we mean. What he said, what he's spoken, what he's promised. So number two on the outline, for us, the Bible is the written record of God's word. So what he said, what he's promised, what he's commanded, it also has the history of God's working with his people. Today, we're going to begin by starting in the book of Genesis 1 and 2 to see what God has said and to learn the results of what God has said. So I'm going to read some selections, not the whole chapter, but I'm starting in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be space between the waters to separate water from water, and it was so. God called the space sky. God said, let the waters below the sky be gathered into one place so dry ground may appear, and it was so. God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees that bear fruit. And it was so. God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate day from the night and to mark seasons, days, and years. And it was so. God said, let the waters teem with living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth. God said, let the land produce living creatures, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth. And it was so. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over all. So God created man in his own image, male and female, he created them. God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant, every tree that bears fruit for food. And it was so. Then the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Now, we're going to hear one more scripture. This is what someone other than God said in Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field. He said to the woman, indeed, has God really said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? He went on, you surely shall not die. Let's pray for a minute. Father God, I thank you for the power of your spoken word. You spoke and it happened, just like you said. Father, we also see that we have an enemy who seeks to sow doubt in our minds about what you have said. So please give us a heart to take your word seriously and to stand on it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Now, here's what I want you to learn just from that first introduction. Number three, God's word is powerful, right? God said, let there be light, and what happened? Light comes into existence. God says, let there be birds, let there be fish filling the seas. Boom, and it happens. So he's powerful. Secondly, what God says happens. What God says happens. He keeps his word. Okay, some of you here, if Ari Wertheimer said, I will help you next Friday at 4 o'clock, you know, plant your garden, what would you expect at Friday at 4 o'clock? You'd expect Ari to show up. Why? Because he said so. He keeps his word. Most of the time, right, Ari? But yeah, he does. So we understand that. What we understand on a human level is something God wants us to understand in a bigger way on his level. God keeps his word. It happens the way he said. Psalm 33 declares, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, by the breath of his mouth, all their host. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. I find that very inspiring. God's word has tremendous power. He created the heavens and the earth. Therefore, and this is your next point, you can build your life on his word. You should build your life on his word. Amen? Okay, that's why you're here today. What he says will happen, both for good and for bad. You have an enemy who calls into question what God has said. So that's the next point. Satan seeks to sow doubt by calling into question God's word. Did God really say you can't eat from every tree? And they said, well, we can eat from all the trees except that one, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. He said, we'll die if we eat from that one. You won't die. God knows you'll become wise like him. God's holding out on you. And so that same kind of interaction happens with you and me in different levels. Do you believe that? Yeah. His deception brought sin and death into our world. It's called the fall. In light of this, how important is it to know what God has said? Very. So ask yourself this question. Is this how you are presently treating the Bible? How seriously are you taking it right now? I can't answer that. You have to answer that for yourself. Our world, number 7, was ruined because Adam and Eve disobeyed God's word. Wow. How many of you have ever heard someone say something like, if God is good, why is the world so bad and full of suffering? Anybody ever had that question posed to them? Yeah, all the time. It's a valid question. Yeah, if God is good, why is the world so bad? Because there's been a fall. Because there's been a rebellion against God where people, made in his image with a free will, chose not to do what God said. God warned Adam and Eve, but what happened? They didn't listen. They got the warning. Like, if you do this, you'll die. Death will come into the world. So they didn't drop dead, but they started aging. They started on a progress that we're going to die now, where they were meant to live with God forever. A friend of mine, a few years ago, Youth with a Mission came and they did a drama. And it was a very powerful drama, and it showed God creating the world and Adam and Eve sinning, and then how, like, sin came into the world, suffering came into the world, death came into the world. When it was all over, he looked at me and said, you know, kind of makes you mad at Adam and Eve. Anybody else ever felt that way? Sure. That's right. Adam and Eve did their own thing rather than obeying God. Is that ever an issue in your life? Right? So, like, we blame Adam and Eve, but we see it's the same thing in us. We have their nature. Did you catch that? So that's number 8. Disobeying God's word is also an issue in our lives. So number 9, Satan is still speaking and trying to deceive us. Let's value what God says. Let's make it important in our lives. Satan successfully deceived Eve. In the New Testament, we see Satan trying to deceive whom? Jesus. Okay, he fasted for 40 days, and there's a temptation. So you can turn there in your Bible if you want. Or part of the scriptures on your sheet there. It's Matthew chapter 4. I want us to pay attention to how Jesus overcame the devil's temptations. So Matthew 4, verse 1. Oh, there we go. He has it up there. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. Then the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Now remember, Jesus is really, really hungry, okay? But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Now that's an amazing story, an account. It really happened. So what was the key for Jesus successfully resisting Satan's temptation? The Word of God, okay? So number 10, the key to overcoming Satan, it is what? Written, okay? Jesus knew what God had said. Now, does Satan know how to quote the Bible? Yes. Have you ever just, I don't know, read scripture or had things come to you that just totally condemned you? Yeah. Satan loves to condemn us. So if he can use scripture to condemn us, he'll be fine with that. So when God points out our sin, what's his goal? Condemnation? Yeah, redemption, reconciliation, forgiveness. So God will point out our sins. We need to have them pointed out. And we need to confess them and admit them and ask for forgiveness. And then there's redemption. That's what we do with our children, right? Constantly our children need correction. Sometimes they need discipline. But when it's all over, we look each other in the eye and say, "Ask Dad for forgiveness. Please forgive me for whatever they did wrong." And I say, "I forgive you for what you did wrong." We're good. Give them a kiss, you hug, you start over again. That's the way it's meant to be. Right? Kiss, hug, start over again. Me and the Lord, okay. Look at verse 4 again, please. Jesus quotes, "It is written," and then he's taking a scripture from, I believe it's Deuteronomy chapter 8. "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." What's that mean? What's it mean to live on the word that comes out of the mouth of God? You get strength from it? What else? Make decisions? Very good. Maybe you get encouraged by reading it. Maybe it helps you connect with God. So, you know, Janine shared a testimony that was perfect for my message. Thank you, Janine. Remember, she said she read the psalm. She was feeling lousy. She was sick. And just as she read it, it's like God spoke to her heart and it lifted her spirits. That's what it means to live by the word that comes out of God's mouth. It's like we read it and it does something to us that enlivens us. Right? So it's just like if you're really hot and tired, maybe you've been running, working out, you come in, you want a glass of water, or you want a Gatorade or Powerade or Coca-Cola or something, and it refreshes you. You guys are laughing about Coca-Cola? Oh, no. If you're hot and tired, like if you've been like mowing the lawn, working, and you're sweating, you come in, you get an ice cold Coke on ice, come on. All right, I got an amen from Ari. God wants his word to do that to us. God wants what he has written, what he has spoken, to refresh us, to stir us, to lift us, to heal us. So ask yourself this question. Am I feeding on God's word? That's number 11. Is that something I'm doing right now? It's good to believe this, but if you believe it and you're not doing it, it's not going to help you. If you believe, if I eat food, I'll be nourished and I won't die, and then you don't eat any food for a month, what happens? You start withering up and dying, okay? So it doesn't do you any good to know it. It only works if you act on it. Now, I want to encourage everybody. How many of you are feeling a little bit convicted right now? Yes, well, I'm trying to convict you. But to your credit, you're here this morning. Why are you here? Because you want to hear the word of God. You want to hear it. You want to get it into your life. You want to act on it. So I commend you. We want to learn to take his word to heart. Is it possible that you could be suffering or hurting because you do not know what God says about the issues in your life? Yeah. Or you know what he says, but you're not acting on it and taking his word to heart. Could that be why I'm suffering or things aren't going well? Could that be true of people in your office or where you work or where you live? Yeah, absolutely. I can give you an example. I know that if Ingrid and I are having an argument or at odds with each other, God has a way out. What is it? I humble myself and apologize for what I've done or said that is wrong. But what am I kind of waiting for? I'm waiting for Ingrid to apologize for what she's done or said is wrong. And I may feel like she started the argument or she's the cause of it, so she really should be the one. But God has a way out for me. Just go humble, Dave. Get the process right. Get the reconciliation going, right? Go humble. Confess. Say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. No. Go humble and go home? No. Okay, so let's practice together. Three sentences. I was wrong. I was wrong. Next one is three words. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Those two sentences have power if you mean them. If I say, like, okay, I was wrong, that's not going to work. If I say, Ingrid, I was wrong. Please forgive me for what I said. It was hurtful. I'm sorry. All of a sudden, things shift. So 12, and seeking obeying God's word, the choice is mine, right? It's up to me. I've got a choice. I can act on it or I cannot. Here's another for instance. Jesus said, if you do not forgive others from the heart, then God will not forgive you and will even hand you over to tormentors. Remember the parable about the guy who was forgiven a multi-million dollar debt and then refused to forgive a guy who owed him like $50 or $100? He got handed over to torment. So as a pastor, people come to me many times and things are going wrong. Broken relationships. They're heavy-hearted. They feel hopeless. And as we begin to talk, I listen to their story. I would say the majority of the time, not forgiving people is one of the issues in their life. There's a reason things are the way they are. And so we have to learn to live by God's word. We want to help each other live by God's word. God may put people in your life where you work or live who are struggling, And they actually need to hear God's word. And you can say, you know, when I was in that situation, here's what God showed me I had to do. And you tell them your story and how it worked. I have helped lots of people learn to forgive other people. And it's transformative. If you're sitting here today and you know there's people you haven't forgiven, you are inviting darkness into your life. You are inviting oppression from the enemy into your life. That's what you're doing. We don't want you to do that. Amen? That's why we sing and rejoice about Jesus' forgiveness. Very few people are suffering in total innocence. Do you know what I mean? I mean, most people say, oh, yeah, it's not my fault. And yeah, there's lots of people who are being oppressed. And we want to help them. But even when we're oppressed, Jesus tells us how to handle when people oppress us and sin against us, doesn't he? God's word is full of valuable wisdom on what we're to do. We need to read the word and do what it says. Are we like Jesus? He knew God's word, and he was able to use it to defeat the enemy. Are you feeding on the word? Do you read it and draw strength from it, encouragement, peace? God wants you to be able to do that. God wants to help you have that kind of relationship with him using his word. Can we all agree for that? All right, good. All right, here's the last scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, I'm going to start in verse 23. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, or all people are like grass, all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains how long? Forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, like babies, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow into salvation. Well, let's just think about this for a moment. You're born again because you heard the word of God and believed it. And Peter says the word of God is not perishable, it's not decaying, it is what? Imperishable. Or then he goes on and says it lasts how long? Forever. Okay, so that's the fill-in. God's word lasts forever. That's why it's something we can build on. It's something we can stand on as a people. He said, that's the word that was preached to you. The message of Jesus is eternal. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world from now into all eternity. It's never going to change. Praise God. He goes on to say, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. Isn't that interesting? All right, who has the youngest baby around here? Would that be Laura, probably? Yeah, Laura with Levi. Or my daughter-in-law, Betsy. Betsy's still nursing little Benjamin, who's like, whatever, 7 months now? So when he gets hungry, you know it. Like if I'm holding him and, like, you know, all of a sudden he's getting cranky, he's crying, he's, you know, having a hard time, she'll just say, Dave, he's hungry. There's only one thing that'll satisfy him. That's his mommy's milk. Peter's using that illustration to say, be like that. Now, to be honest, I can't say that, like, I'm just, like, dying for God's word the way Benjamin wants his mother's milk. But I get the idea. So what do I have to do? I have to pray for myself, right? Have you ever prayed, Lord, make me hungry? Make me thirsty, stir me up, don't let me stay where I'm at right now. Yeah, that's what we need. So yeah, I'm praying that for myself. Lord, yes, I want that. I want to be hungry for your word. Now what happens, Peter says, when you drink the word or partake of the word. You grow. That's the last fill-in. Last week we talked about growing and knowing God. One of the keys to knowing God better is to read his word. Because his word is telling us what he's like. It's a message. He's speaking to us. We're seeing what he's done. We learn about God through all that. So next week, I'm going to do part two on this. But I'm trying to get you the heart to close out today. Have a heart to daily read something from God's word. When you first get up, when you're eating breakfast, at dinner time, dads or moms, break out a Bible, read a couple verses. Read a chapter before you go to bed. You can learn to do that, and it will benefit you. I've been a Christian for over 40 years now. It's a long time, all right? Do I need to read the Bible anymore? No, you're right, Ian. I've just got it down, man. Like, me and the Bible, like, we're one, you know? No, it still helps me. It's just been a part of my life as I like to get up and read it every day. Even if I know I only have a few minutes, I just want to get it in my mind. I want to get it percolating. I want to get it going. All right, I have a little closing exhortation here from Charles Spurgeon, a very wise preacher. But Anna and Johnny, if you want to get up and for the closing song for us. And this is from a devotional that he wrote, and the scripture he's using is Hebrews 13:5. He has said, meaning God, okay? Spurgeon says, yes, whether for a delight or in our quietude or for strength or in our conflict, he has said must be our daily resort. And this may teach us the extreme value of searching the scriptures. There may be a promise in the word which would exactly fit your case, but you may not know of it, and therefore you miss its comfort. You are like prisoners in a dungeon, and there may be one key in the bunch which would unlock the door, and you might be free. But if you will not look for it, you will remain a prisoner still, though liberty is so near at hand. I found that a compelling exhortation. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you for everyone being here. Lord, I thank you that my brothers and sisters are here to hear your word. Lord, thank you that you've given them that desire. Father, we are praying together, increase our desire for your word. Can we all say amen to that? Amen. Lord, let us grow in our estimation of how powerful your word is, how comforting your word could be, how it would draw us closer to you. It would satisfy inner longings and desires that we have. Lord, let us look to you and what you've said. Let us be like the wise man who built his house on the rock because he heard the word and put it into practice. And we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.